Now I want to wish you grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus the Christ. This story that we're entering about King David is one of the most inspiring stories of Scripture. It inspires young people and old people alike. I think we older folks are inspired by King David's story because he is so real. He's a human being, he's not a saint, and he's tempted by the trappings of power just like each and every one of us gets tempted. And yet still God uses him, this man of faith, in powerful ways to unite a warring, divided people and to lift up one of the most powerful kingdoms of the world in its time. He became the greatest king that Israel ever knew, and he became the benchmark against which all future kings were measured. Because, as Scripture tells us again and again, David was a man after God's own heart. God loved David, and David knew it, and David loved God and strove his whole life to keep God at the center of his life and at the center of his people's lives. So that's maybe the adult view. Children learn about David when they're just little ones, like the ones who were up here dancing and playing the instruments so beautifully a minute ago. They learn about David in Sunday school, and what they know is David was a legendary hero when he was just a boy with something that most of us think of as a child's toy. He took down the Philistine warrior Goliath, and that's the story that they know about David. But David, giant slayer that he was nothing special. He came into the world like all the rest of us did. In fact, he had the sorry luck to be the eighth child in Jesse's family. So he didn't have much say in how his life played out. Most of his life was spent answering to other people's beck and call. When he was just a little shaver, he was sent out to watch the sheep. As he was a little bit older, he didn't get to fight in battle. He was only at the battle scene because he had been sent on an errand to his older brothers who were in the trenches. He was supposed to bring them lunch. And then, when he was a little older than that, his gifts of music got played out in the court of the first king of Israel, King Saul, because David's music was soothing to Saul's anguished heart. Being a king is not easy work, and Saul found comfort. So David again was at the beck and call of a king before he became king. And yet he learned a lot from watching those around him. He was a faithful young man who grew into a military powerhouse. The people so adored him because of the success that he brought them in battle, that he was able to bring the warring factions of north and south together in a united kingdom. And the elders, those tribal chieftains, wanted to make David their king. And so they anointed him in the story that was read to us just a minute ago. But David had been anointed long, long before that by God, anointed through the prophet Samuel when he was just a child. And at that time, I'm sure that David had absolutely no idea what God had in store for him. He wasn't so much different then than you are now, these young people being confirmed today. These nine were anointed in their baptism, and today they affirm that anointing by saying to God and to us that they will continue in the course that was set for them in that first anointing in the waters of baptism. Though they know not where the road will eventually or ultimately take them. But like David, they have faith. And that is enough for now. Matthew Bourne said, I have faith that God will guide me and give me hints to go the right way. I believe that God made me a loyal follower and a good listener. Indeed, Matthew, like David, realizes that the gifts that he has come from God, and that the leadership gifts that God has given him will enable him to do things in the world to help others keep God central in their lives too. In his faith statement, he wrote this. Oh, one hard thing about my faith is I can't make it to church all the time because of school and sports commitments. If or when I become a captain, I will try to protect Sundays so team members can worship. Do you hear that? He's in ninth grade, and he sees how he might have power if God puts him in a position to influence others. That's exactly what David did, Matthew, when he was crowned. The first action that he took as king was to take the city of Jerusalem, which nobody thought could be taken because it was high on a hill. So it could be defended. He took that city because it was strategically located right between the north and the south kingdoms. And so he brought God's Ark of the Covenant that held the Word of God, the tablets with God's Word for the people, and placed it right in the center so it would be the source of life for his whole kingdom. Matthew understands that faithful leadership demands much of us. Matthew talked about his friend Nathan Huntley the way David talked about his friend Jonathan, who was Saul's son. Nathan, Matthew said, was the one who always helped him get involved, invited him in, got him to open up to other people. And Matthew says, based on Nathan's leadership, now I'm asking other friends to join us. Those are Matthew's words. That's how faith works. It's always shared. And sharing our faith sometimes takes courage. It's not easy to invite people in. But that courage is rooted in the Word of God that gives us strength. Nathan understands how central God's word is to our faith. In his faith statement, Nathan wrote, reading the Bible makes you stronger because of the teachings of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit connecting you closer to God. The Bible helps you to be a more faithful Christian by its words of wisdom and stories of faith from people before you. Nathan knows also that faith is something to be shared. He says God's grace comes to us through people, human beings. He said that he's learned his beliefs from the family that he was born into and the people that God has surrounded him with in this family of faith. Listen to his words. God's grace is a foundation of my life. I experience God's grace through my family, my church, and my friends. God's grace comes to me through my family by the way they forgive and center their lives around God. The way I experience God's grace through the church is how people at Redeemer are always understanding and nurture my faith. The way I experience God's grace through my friends is how they accept me as I am, even with my flaws, and how we make sure to support one another and have experiences together that enrich our faith. Amen. Andrew Allen, another friend in this group, has learned something about forgiveness himself. He says, in order for God to forgive us, we need to forgive others. That means if we want to be forgiven for our sins, we have to forgive everyone who has sinned against us. Not an easy task. He goes on, no matter what they did, and no matter what you did, that's right. God can forgive everyone. He has enough mercy for anyone and everyone. Andrew, it took David, King David, years to learn that. Andrew described how he came to have such a deep understanding. For him, faith grew in singing praise to God, just like David used to sing praise with his harp. During my faith journey, Andrew says, I've learned so much about God. I've learned from singing about God, praying to Him, and praying for others. Our church has provided an amazing environment for me to grow up and enjoy learning about God. I'm very thankful about what I have in our church and for the people here. That's a sentiment that was repeated again and again and again. You have touched these young people's lives. After going to church for all these years, Andrew says, I've learned a lot. In Sunday school, I learned how to see God through coloring sheets and doing crafts. In Little Eye Choir, I learned that you didn't have to be a good singer to sing about God and what you believe in. In Good News Bears, I learned about the Bible and what it had to teach me about God. In Alleluia Choir, I learned to have fun worshiping God. Last but not least, in confirmation, I learned lots more about my faith and how to live it out by serving others. Dave Johnson had a similar experience. He said, it's important that my parents took me to Sunday school and confirmation at Redeemer. Parents, I want you all to hear that again. It's important that my parents took me to Sunday school and confirmation at Redeemer. I have learned many good lessons, and I have also learned to be a better person by coming here because I have learned about Jesus and the unconditional love He has for me. They've also has grown closer to God through prayer. As a Christian, Dave says, I believe God creates peace and helps answer people's prayers. I feel close to God when I'm in church because we talk about God and things He did. I also feel close to God every day when something good happens and even when something bad happens because I pray. I love to make my faith stronger by talking to God. I feel like He is a friend. Allie Ackerknecht agrees with Dave. She said, one of the many ways I can really connect to God and tell Him how I'm feeling is through prayer. I plan on keeping my faith and relationship with God strong by again coming to church and praying to God every day and doing other activities at the church or outside the church. And she named a lot of ways that she's already doing that. She went on to say, God has given me the opportunity to be a part of such a wonderful church, and I can't wait to carry on my faith after I'm confirmed. Allie and her classmates know that confirmation in some ways is like a coronation. There's a big celebration, but after the celebration is over, that's when it really begins. The work of leading from who you are into the world God calls you into. Andre Keller says, when you're confirmed, you are truly becoming one with God and the church. My journey will never truly end, Andre says. There's still a lot I can learn about God, Jesus, heaven, and the Bible. After my confirmation, I will never stop believing in God or going to church, praying, and reading the Bible because that's how I believe I will keep growing in my faith. Words of wisdom for sure, Andre. For Andre, the Bible is central to our faith too. The Bible tells us the history of Jesus and His disciples, he says, but people read it to find comfort and to be reminded God is with them. I think I should keep reading the Bible to make sure I remember that Jesus died for me and I am forgiven for my sins. Amen. Gavin McCloy's understanding of God has been powerfully shaped by the stories of Scripture. He says, I believe that God is always there to watch over us and is constantly trying to guide us in the right direction. I think He created us and wants us to succeed. He sent his son to die for our sins, and there is no other God. Some people think that having God in their life is like having somebody always watching over your shoulder, telling you not to do something, but I think he only has rules to make sure we live lives we can be proud of. Though God destroyed the world with the flood, I think he did it with the intention that the few he allowed to live would go on to create a new society less focused on hatred and warfare and more focused on peace and love. That's the kingdom God wants to reign on earth. Gavin also said the church was a very important part of my faith because it introduced me to God. Sam Myla said, the church is also a place where he can continue to learn about God. I will always want to know more. And there are many ways I can do that, Sam says. I can learn more just by talking to people and hearing their perspectives. Our church is a community supporting and leaning on all the others in our family of faith. We love each person and want everybody to succeed. We also try to teach ourselves and others more about God. God is the foundation for the community, and the entire family is built on him. Per Swenson, last in alphabet, certainly not least, has a favorite Bible verse that might be familiar to some of you from Jeremiah 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. It's Per's favorite verse because it plays into Per's idea of God doing everything in his power to make us the best we can be. For Per, being the best is connected to having a strong faith, like King David's faith, or perhaps like a more recent figure in our faith family who also kept the word central for himself and for God's people. Per wrote, I want my faith to be strong, but strong in its own way. Strong in the way Martin Luther had a strong enough faith to stand up for himself. And Per, today's Reformation Sunday, we celebrate what Martin Luther did for the world by having the courage to take a stand that no other took. Per said, I want my faith to be that strong. It probably won't be that strong, Per said, but I'm going to aim that high. That's where the journey begins, friends, with faith in God that will enable each of us, each of you, to do the remarkable things that God has in store for you to do, for you to be the remarkable people that God has created you to be. Praise the Lord. Praise him with your holy and your precious lives. Amen.